Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Kiwi, and with me is BP.
Hi.
And the boy, Paxton.
Hi.
This week we are going to play Tiny Epic Dinosaurs. It was published this year. It's designed by Scott Alms, who did all of the Tiny Epic games.
Should you say what year this year is?
This is also 2020. So it was...
Also.
Yes.
But what if someone's listening to this
in
5 years?
In the future.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's 2020 okay. And it was published this year. It was kickstarted. Some non-Tiny Epic games he's done. He's also done Claim, Harbor, and Heroes of Land, Air, and Sea. It was developed by Michael Coe, who's a co-founder of Gamelin Games, who is the publisher, and Sam O. And the artist was Nicoletta Vazzi and Benjamin Schulman, who's also done Herbaceous. In Tiny Epic Dinosaurs, breakthroughs in modern science have dinosaurs and humans existing side by side. This has allowed for a lucrative industry, dino ranching. Independent ranchers have begun farming dinosaurs to sell to the highest bidders for use in their high-thrill theme parks. You are one of those ranchers. Do you have what it takes to out-ranch your opponents and operate the most successful dinosaur farm?
Okay, this sounds awful.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. So the mechanics are contracts, enclosure, hidden victory points, and worker placement. So enclosure is one that we haven't brought up on the podcast before, but the biggest, it'd be players move pieces in order to surround as much area as possible. So games like Agricola, trying to build the fences, that's one of the examples. The biggest example that they give is Go, because you're trying to surround areas in order to score points inside. So
I've never played Go.
I haven't either. I've tried, but it's hard. The box art. Paxton, how would you describe that box art?
Like a three-year-old show on like PBS Kids.
Yeah, or Nickelodeon Junior or something. Yeah. That's what I was thinking
yeah,
too.
I got a strong like Nick Jr. kind of vibe. Yeah. It's like definitely like a cartoony's like 80s style. It feels different style. I guess we could pull out some of the other ones. It feels like a different style, or at least looks like a different style than some of the other Tiny Epic games. We've only played Galaxies and Mechs, but I feel like
maybe that's what they were going for though.
Yeah. So Paxton, would you pull this off a shelf, you think?
Maybe, probably not.
Why wouldn't you pull it off a shelf?
Because it looks very like three-year-old Nick Jr.
Okay. So the art is kind of off-putting for you.
Yeah.
BP? Okay.
I mean, I'm going to have to probably agree with the kid on this one. It looks a little junior-like for me as well. But after hearing the end, after hearing the description, I'm also a little turned off.
Yeah, I think we've only played two of the Tiny Epic games. Galaxies is the one that we played first, and I do like Galaxies, although during our Fort episodes, if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to that one. I said that I would replace Tiny Epic Galaxies with Fort because some of the same mechanics are in it, and I think I liked the theme in Fort better. I do love Dinosaur Island, and in terms of scale, this game is much smaller than Dinosaur Island. So, but we'll see.
I mean, it's got nice components too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's certainly true. Paxton, how do you think this is played?
You like grab one of like the four dinosaurs or
those cards up there.
Thingamabob. You draw one of the cards from there. And then whatever on that card you grab.
The dinosaurs to match. Okay.
And then, like, you get one of, like, the DNA science-y cards as, like, your quest or something.
Right. So there's two different sets of cards that he's pointing at. There are some that have, like, color combinations and types of dinosaurs that maybe you're trying to collect. I mean, because you're a rancher, right, trying to sell these off to millionaires so that they can profit off of poor little animals. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't remember, was deck building kind of a thing?
No.
So, but I can see where when you're looking at it, it does seem like you're trying to put groups of dinosaurs together, and those would be like the orders, but I don't remember order something being an option. Pick up and deliver. Was that a...
No, pick up and deliver was not.
Okay. So yeah, I'm hard pressed to figure this out. I mean, we do have these things, and it's real funny that the cards have like this little like ham on a stick thing. So I think we're trying to attract them,
okay,
and then corral them in because it was the enclosure piece. So maybe, and it's got like this other board that you do stuff, and some of them look like you can buy fencing. So maybe.
Oh.
Yeah. There's a dice too for catching stuff. Okay. Here's how this plays. We're going to roll the dice to see, or once we get to one of the options of capturing some of the animals, we're going to roll the dice to see if we get them or if we get hurt, because there's like a slashing sign, and that's where Paxton's horrible fears of dinosaurs come in. And then we're gonna try to fulfill these orders and capture them. And then we want to somehow move, because maybe we've got like a set number of movements in a play, and then we're gonna get fences to fence them in, and then yeah.
So BP, the history of killer dinosaurs trying to kill Paxton.
Yeah, I mean, I think this all really, yeah. I mean, it really is all stemming from Jurassic Park. I mean, this game, once I saw like the whole ranchers idea, and you're trying to capture dinosaurs to sell to rich people to put in a park.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the only thing in this day and age that one could think of would be Jurassic Park. Am I right?
Or poachers.
Sure, but for dinosaurs, like you go to Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not putting together a safari. 1993.
It's a good year.
Really?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, it's the year that Jurassic Park came out.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Okay. It was one of the top grossing movies, of course, right?
Yep.
Opening weekend.
Yep.
And it held that record until?
I'm going to guess 96.
What came out in 96 that you think?
Titanic.
Yes, except that it came out in 97. It came out the end of 96, beginning of 97.
Okay, yeah. That's right.
Back to Jurassic Park, and not Titanic, because we are playing a Jurassic Park game. Again, like the history of Jurassic Park, obviously, if you've watched the franchise and the sequels, it was obviously not just a high-grossing movie because it was also very popular, but then became so popular that, as we were just talking, there are tons of course, games themed off of it.
There were sequels.
There was The Lost World, Jurassic Park 3, Jurassic World, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. I think we just saw that when it came out. And supposedly in 2021, we may have Jurassic World Dominion.
Oh,
so, yeah, I mean, this is obviously...
How many times are we going to start a theme park full of dinosaurs that ends in catastrophe before we stop making theme parks with dinosaurs?
Are you going to genetically modify a killer dinosaur to make it more hidden and more
How
killer?
Many times does it take? That's all I'm saying. How many times?
I mean, it's mankind.
Oh, yeah, true.
All right. That's fair. Okay.
How right were Paxton and I?
All right. So the game is going to last for 6 rounds. The player with the most victory points at the end of the round is the winner. And you're going to earn victory points by having dinosaurs in your ranch, by fulfilling contracts, both public and we'll have some private contracts as well.
So, but pick up and deliver wasn't a thing?
No, pick up and deliver is not a thing. Okay. And then conducting research.
So the kid was right about those being research cards.
Yep. All right. And the first player is the last person to visit a natural history museum.
Oh.
I do not remember the last time I visited a natural history museum.
I mean, I did in 2010, but...
Ooh. Do you remember going to a natural history museum? Okay. Have you been to a museum with bones? I feel like is probably the... Since 2010.
I mean, me and mom went to like 3 different museums in San Francisco, and I think one of them had bones.
I think that is probably the closest we're going to get.
Okay.
All right. So yeah. Paxton will be the first player. So you get this little first player token that just says first and looks like a ham hock. Okay, so each of the six rounds is then broken up into phases. Most of them we're going to play simultaneously, and then a few of them we will go in turn order. So each player is going to receive a resource for each resource not covered by a dinosaur on their player mat. So on your player mat, there are going to be 5 leaves, 3 meat, and 1 supply, which is the crate looking icon. So that's what we're all going to get at the beginning of our turn. So on our other player mat, card 2, I guess, the numbers on the outside are how you're going to track. So you would move your little leaf meeple thing to the 5, your supply would be on 1, and your meat would be on 3. As you start placing dinosaurs on your mat, it's going to cover those and you don't get those. Basically, the dinosaurs are eating that, so you don't get those resources. You can never have more than 13 of one resource. And if you go to 0, you just kind of take it off of your player mat and that indicates that you have 0. You can never go below 0. You can't have negative plants.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would be bad.
All right, so that's all done simultaneously. Then we go into phase 2, which is the assign ranchers phase. So in turn order, players are going to place their ranchers. So the ranchers count as workers. And in the middle of the table, we have several cards laid out that have many different options that you can put your rancher on. Some of the actions have associated costs. So, for example, this dino market. So in order to purchase a dinosaur, you would have to place a worker in that spot and then pay a supply. And then you would get one of any of the dinosaurs. Some of them are and or, and they're listed on the card. You have to do at least one if you go to that spot, but you don't have to do both. If a spot is occupied by another player, you just have to pay one more than what they have there. So if Paxton goes to the dino market, pays his supply and gets a dinosaur, and I want to go to the dino market as well, I would have to use 2 of my workers to go to that spot. And then BP, if you wanted to go there, then you would have to use 3. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a lead rancher, which is slightly bigger. And that lead rancher counts as 2 workers. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that to your own. So if Paxton went to the market,
he couldn't go twice.
He couldn't go there again, even if he was had the workers to pay extra. Yeah, so the actions will allow you to capture free-range dinosaurs, purchase from the dinosaur market, gain resources, gain barriers, and get the first player marker, fulfill contracts, and conduct research. So once everybody has finished placing all of their workers, then we go into phase 3, which is retrieve your ranchers. So we're just going to take all our ranchers and put them back on our mats. Also, if we have any ranchers or dinosaurs in the medical leave space, then we get those back. They've been injured. Okay, then we go into arrange the ranch phase. So when you're collecting dinosaurs during the round, they're going to go into your holding area. And then you're also going to have fences in your holding area. So at this point, everyone is going to be able to simultaneously put their fences and dinosaurs on their mat. Fences that have been placed previously can't be moved again. So you can only place fences that come from your holding area. And the fences will always go on the dotted lines. For the dinosaurs that are in your park, you can shift those around and move them as you like. Each space on your mat can only hold 1 dinosaur, and you can still put them on any space where that's not fully enclosed. But if it is in a space that isn't enclosed, they will escape. Okay, and then enclosures can only hold a single dinosaur, so you can't have like a Stegosaurus and a Allosaurus, which would be bad for many reasons. But
right.
So then we're going to feed our dinosaurs. So if you look at your player mat card, it'll show you like the Stegosaurus will eat 1 leaf. The Velociraptor will eat 1 meat, Brachiosaurus will eat 2 leaf, and Allosaurus will eat 2 meat. And then there are other dinosaurs. So like right now in our technology row, we have a special dinosaur. So what is that? A Diplodocus. And it will eat 2 plant. There are also omnivores. And you get to choose whether or not you feed them plants or meat. If a dinosaur is not in its enclosure, or if you can't feed the dinosaur, they will escape, in which case an herbivore is going to destroy one of your fences. So you're just going to take it off the mat and put it back in the supply. A carnivore, when it escapes, will eat one of your other dinosaurs. So you just remove both of them from your map. Omnivores, you get to pick. They either destroy a fence or they eat another dinosaur. And the reason why you might want to pick is because it can eat a dinosaur that you know is going to run away. Mm. You just haven't made them run away yet. Mm-hmm. So then they, so like you could have it eat an herbivore. So that herbivore won't escape. Mm-hmm. It's just, and it won't break.
It's just going to be eaten.
It's just going to be eaten. Then the next phrase is breed dinosaurs. So if you have at least two dinosaurs,
only one in each fence,
one type of dinosaur.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So if you have a big enclosure and you have two stegosauruses in there, they will make a baby stegosaurus. All right. And then the last phase is going to be refresh for, oh, and then unique dinosaurs, which are the purple color that we get from technology, they don't breed. In fact, each of these purple ones is different and based off of the, so all of the red, yellow, green, and blue are all the same dinosaur. The purple are the special dinosaurs. They do not breed. So finally, we're going to refresh for the next round. So if there are contract cards that are missing, we're going to refill back to the player count. And then the technology one, we're going to discard all the ones still showing and then reveal three new cards. Everyone's going to get an additional worker in round four, and you will get an additional private contract. And then players are going to gain points for the contract. So if you see in the top right of that card, it has a star with a point value in it. Mm-hmm. So you'll get that. The research cards have point values in the bottom right in the star. And then you will get a point for every dinosaur still in your park. And the player with the most points is the winner, with the tie going to whoever went earliest in the round.
Let's play.
We just finished a game of Tiny Epic Dinosaurs. BP had 18 dinosaur points.
Woo!
Kiwi had 30 dinosaur points. And the best dinosaur rancher was Paxton with 34 dinosaur points.
I won.
Paxton, what was your strategy?
Just stock up on food. And, like, not that many dinosaurs until the last round, and then execute your master plan, which didn't go as planned.
But you had a master plan.
Yeah.
What was your master plan?
Basically, to try to
get your private contracts.
Yeah.
In the last round.
I will say that Paxton's other strategy was never let your dinosaurs breed.
Yes, no, he kept them very, well, and
very separated. Mm-hmm. He had many inches for Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very good at social distancing.
Yes, yes. Yeah, whereas the dinosaurs in my park, they found a way. Theme. Paxton, what did you think about the theme?
Did it seem very dinosaur park-y?
Yeah, did you feel like you were a dinosaur rancher?
Yeah.
BP, what did you think of the theme?
I mean, it does remind me of Dinosaur Island, which is building a dinosaur park.
Yep.
So in that essence, yes.
It reminds me of that one game that we played on the paper.
Escape from Dino Island.
Yeah.
Escape from Dino World.
Yeah, Dino
right.
World.
There are definitely some similar ideas in terms of enclosures and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. I can definitely see that.
Yeah.
Theme-wise, like I mean, Dinosaur Island is a really great game, and I do enjoy it, and I like that theme. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the theme was good. I liked it. Art. BP, what did you think of the art?
It still looks a little Nick Jr.
Okay.
I mean, by and large, it's also all the player boards are very clear on what things are and where they go to. By the way, thinking about points, and now that you bring up the art and looking at the player boards, like each of these has...
you're right. We definitely did the points wrong. I should have an extra 2, 4, 6 points, which actually puts me up to 36. BP should have 2, 4, 6, 8, an extra 8 points. This actually puts you up to 26. And Paxton should have an extra 2, 4, 5, 6 to put him up to 40 points. You still won.
Okay.
Paxton, what did you think of the art?
I mean, basically the same thing that BP said with the Nick Jr. art.
Yeah, I don't mind the cartoony art because the cartoony art kind of sticks throughout the whole thing. There aren't cards with like different types of art. So they, while the art isn't necessarily like something that I'm necessarily drawn to, and I didn't really stare at the art, it's not bad.
No.
It definitely sticks with the theme, and I like that aspect. And it's consistent. Yep. Exactly. So, art you can write home about, but it's good. It's consistent. Yeah,
it's consistent.
It actually reminds me of that show Dinosaur Trains.
I was thinking of Denver, the Last Dinosaur. So there's a great callback to the 80s again. Okay. Mechanics. So Paxton, what did you think of the mechanics?
So mechanics are how the game plays. So, right, like with worker placement, when we place the little meeples on the board, that's a worker placement mechanic. Yeah. So there was worker placement. What else did we do?
Enclosure.
Yeah.
A variable. There's not variable player powers, but there is.
But there's not pickups to deliver, which I feel like there kind of was, though.
No. Yeah. So mechanics wise, do you think everything kind of fit together? Do you think the things that we had to do in the game, did they fit into the theme?
Yes.
Yeah. I thought that the mechanics went well with the theme.
Sure.
Like everything kind of made sense on like why you were doing it. Like the die roll when you're trying to catch the free range dinosaurs. It's like, well, they're free range. Like,
yeah. So you know what that means about their meat.
That it's tastier.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I just, in my head though, I just imagine people trying to like go out and trying to catch free range chickens and they end up in the medical facility.
I mean, they might.
That's true. Rules. Learning the game. What did you guys think?
Well, at first I was just very confused.
What was confusing?
All of it.
Okay, so it took a couple rounds, but by the end of the...
I mean, just the rules in general were just confusing, and then I played the first round, like, oh, that's easy.
Yeah, yeah.
BP, what did you think about the rules?
It seemed pretty straightforward once you get into it. I just still think I nailed it in my explanation of the game.
Okay. Wording on the cards.
Continue on.
Yeah, I think all that's really clear. I think, again, it is clear what you need to do, the labeling. Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes with the artwork. It's nothing to write home about, but it was clearly presented.
Yeah, I think all the iconography is pretty understandable. Like once you saw what the icons were, like that first round or so, it was easy after that. Mm-hmm. I thought the wording's in the cards, like we never had any question about, what does this do? There were a couple times I had to go in the rule book, but it was more of a, I know I read this, but I'm not sure if I remember it correctly. So I was just double checking myself. What's up, Paxton?
The DNA like science cards from the Bob cards, they kind of like remind me of Smash Up cards because it's like the name and then like, so Smash Up, it'll have like the name and then like the faction.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So like this one, well, I'm not going to pronounce that name. So.
One of the dinosaur names.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Like Triceratops and then herbivore, and then it has a description of what it does, which is basically like the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it has like the power, like in Smash Up, there's the power, but in this, it's like the food that it needs to eat.
My one complaint is the small size, and the text is very small.
Yeah, but it's epic.
Yes.
It is their gimmick.
It is small because it's in the box. I just wish it was a little bit bigger so that the words were a little bit bigger. That is my only complaint.
Yeah,
and I think that's very minor.
Because it's epic. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very minor. Player interaction. Paxton, do you feel like we interacted at all?
I mean, we interacted as people, not as players.
Okay. BP.
I mean, there were times I had to pay attention to where you guys went, because if you were trying to take what I wanted, I mean, it did sometimes have to mean I had to plan like when I was going to use my double meeple or not, or where I was going to be placing my meeple. So, I mean, I think like with any worker placement, there's a limited amount of interaction. And that is the primary mechanic here. But I mean, there was that time where we were both trying to fight for the same contract.
Yeah.
So again, it was minimal because we had both built up our dinosaur breeds. I mean, basically, yeah. I mean, we were not paying enough attention to realize we were going after the same thing.
Yeah. The only time I looked at either of your boards was to help with the different portions of the phases and the scoring. I agree. I think the only interaction was the same type of interaction you get with other worker placement games. So now the question that we end all the podcasts with, Paxton, would you play this again?
I mean, if somebody else wanted to play it.
Okay.
Okay.
Of the other games that you've played, so you've played Tiny Epic Galaxies and you've played Tiny Epic Mechs. Which one of those is your favorite out of those?
Mechs.
Mechs. Okay. VP, mm-hmm. would you play this again?
I would. I mean, I think if we go back to the comparison with Dinosaur Island, it's very similar. And I prefer Dinosaur Island. I think the research aspect to Dinosaur Island just has many more options on what you're trying to do. And it's got that kind of push your luck almost aspect with the security levels, right? Yeah. And your alerts. I just think it's much more involved and where it's already the same theme. So, I mean, the components here are really cute. It's really, I think if we didn't already have Dinosaur Island, like, sure, why not? But I feel like since there's another game that I already like that I like a little bit more, I would go with that.
Yeah. So I will agree. I will say, yes, I will play this again. I think if we are sitting at this table in the basement and we wanted to play a dinosaur themed game, we're going to play Dinosaur Island.
Right.
Because we have the space.
Right.
Intercavement.
In the
intercavement. Exactly.
Because we have the space. Because Dinosaur Island, the one kind of drawback to it is a big game and it takes up a lot of space, where I think this does not take space. I think this is a game that, because of the small size, because, you know, that's kind of Tiny Epic shtick, mm-hmm. game shtick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could play it on a coffee table size.
Yes, I think this
with
is
three
a
people,
good travel game.
Yeah,
you could travel with this game very easily.
I mean,
it's like this.
I mean, the box is definitely small for traveling, but I mean, you'd still want like a coffee table.
Yes, but you wouldn't be able to play Dinosaur Island on a coffee table.
Correct.
And if we were traveling, say, to another city, and we wanted a dinosaur game to bring with us.
Right.
I think this would be a good game for that. I will say, of the Tiny Epic games, I think this, for me, ranks above Mechs for me.
Yeah.
I think I still like Galaxies the best. And that is Tiny Epic Dinosaurs.
This was, by the way, a listener request.
It was our first one.
Any listeners out there, be they relatives or not, feel free. If you want to hear our impressions about any kind of game, so you have recommendations, send them our way. And if you want certain perspectives, including a child's perspective, definitely send us your kid-friendly games. We do like to try to get the whole family involved. Send those recommendations and ideas, thoughts, comments, or anything about us to firstturntabletop@gmail.com or the Twitter and Instagram is firstturncast. And the podcasting camel dinosaur says, or is he a herbivore one? He might still roar pretty big.
It's
it could be like a I feel like a brachiosaurus would roar pretty loudly.
I mean,
they're
probably
huge.
Make noises. Yeah.
He likes berries.
The podcasting camel dinosaur likes berries. What kind of berries? Blueberries. We're just throwing out blueberries right now. Okay. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to your favorite podcatchers.
I'm scared.
Play more games!
Is
that the Jurassic Park
theme? Yeah, that is the Jurassic Park.